I don't know what it is, but I just love being black. BJ here.
What up, doe? It's your girl, Blair. You know, my melanin was popping yesterday. It's popping today, and it's sure enough gonna be popping tomorrow.
It's your boy, Red, and you're listening to the Highly Melanated Podcast.
Highly Melanated Podcast, the safe space where it is okay to eat your words as you have contradicted yourself time in and time again.
Oh, PJ, would you like to give a little clarity, a little explanation on that?
Tell us more.
Tell us more, please, please.
PJ is no longer allowed to talk any kind of way about Beyonce as I sit here with my exclusive Renaissance sweatshirt that I got from the Sherry Show. Shout out to, once again, I'm Just Patrick. This is one of the senior producers, and that actual show was his entire baby. And I don't know if you guys have seen it, but it was actually a great experience. Sherry changed into about 8 outfits. She looked amazing, and we were given the special guest of Miss Tina Lawson. Is she Lawson or is she Knowles?
She's still Lawson. I don't think their divorce is finalized.
Right. Well, we know who Miss Tina is. So, and I can sit here and say I know what she smells like.
That feels weird to say.
She smells like she smells.
That sounds inappropriate.
It does. It does. But she smells like white diamonds and no ceilings and just luxury and yeah, I don't know what she, well, you know, I might adjust this part of the episode because I would be like, what do you mean his man knows how to smell like? But what I will say is, for those of us who were in the studio, we were all in Beyonce's living room at one point in time, because as it was going, Beyonce was watching the episode being recorded because it was aired on Halloween. So PJ is just having a good sandwich, eating the words of days gone by.
Bzzz. Wow.
Red. I love watching you eat crow, Red.
And Blair, I love that you just served yourself up a nice piece of humble pie, Blair.
Unique!
See, now it's, you're going to go like so far in the opposite direction now that it's going to be, it's going to be a lot.
PJ has a problem. No.
Besides America.
Mm-hmm.
PJ has a problem. Dun, 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 dun.
No, but I do want to say that I really did have a good time. And I actually am glad that that happened, only more so because it's crazy how sometimes you don't realize how when you might be having a bad day, what actually turns your day around, and being around all those people, hold on, the sounds of New York.
Now, this is the first time I actually feel like I've heard it, because I was like, is it? They going to your building?
What I was about to say, they coming up your steps.
Listen, I've already experienced that. Remember when my neighbors caught on fire?
I know, that's what I'm saying.
That was a scary, scary day. Bang, bang, bang. Hold on, here comes another. I think the next place I move will not be on a main street. But I did, so before we move on, I did want to just like not only just say that was a wonderful experience, but I think it was great. Shout out to all the new listeners we have, because as you know, I promote the show heavy by word of mouth. And there should have been a few. Shout out to the teachers that I was sitting with. The beautiful sister, if you catch me on that, I'm wearing like this metallic snakeskin shirt. If you catch me on there, the woman who's sitting next to me with the big afro and like heart-shaped glasses, shout out to her and all of her friends. They were all celebrating birthday and just having some good times. And I just love being around people who are enjoying themselves.
Aww.
And speaking of enjoying ourselves, before we even get into that, this episode is being recorded on November 1st. However, October 29th.
Oh, stop
19
it.
-19- Thank you. Oh, 19-- the world was given the blessing, the gift, the alien superstar herself.
Oh my.
Miss Blair Tate, otherwise known as Jessica Blair Tate White. How was your birthday, my love?
Oh, you guys are so sweet. I thought we were going to talk about Red's party.
No. Ladies first.
My birthday was wonderful. It was a good day. You know what I realized today? Because I was telling some people on set today, they were like, oh, how was your birthday? And I was like, oh, it was really good. And I was trying to talk through explaining to them just like how good it was, and I had to talk myself into understanding what it was. So I feel like for a few years now, my birthday had always been a little stressful, just because of, you know, situations and relationships and the set and your third. It was always had some kind of element of like stress to it, especially like 2-3 years ago. And I didn't get to do anything for my birthday last year because it was the one and only time I ever had COVID. And I was like, that's fucked up that I would get COVID the weekend of my birthday. I've been outrunning this bitch for 3 years and it finally took me down the weekend of my birthday.
Sidebar, why does that feel like that was like literally just yesterday? That's how fast time has gone by.
It was literally a year ago, 1 year ago. But this year, I ended up just having dinner with a couple of friends, and it was just really nice. Like, you know how like people say like, oh, we had a good time. Da, 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 da. Like, I genuinely experienced just pure, uninhibited joy. And that's really like the best way I can describe it. Like, I was so filled with the feeling of joy in its most authentic understanding. So it was great. I really enjoyed myself, and the food was good. The company was good. It all came together like super last minute because I wasn't going to do anything. And then my friend was like, no, call some people. I got people. We're going to dinner. I was like, oh, okay. And we had dinner, and I'm glad that she made that happen. So, Otherwise, you guys would have known about it. And you would have been there too. But like, literally, like an hour, 2 or so hours before, they're like, "So get ready, we're going out." I was like, "Oh,
it's all right if you didn't want us there."
Stop it! Don't do that. Because I immediately texted both of you guys afterwards and was like, "Look, we need to go to dinner. We need to do something because." I need to keep this spirit moving along. So
it's important to have that train moving. I want to tell you that I actually had a surprise plan for you. But I think with everything going on, it kind of fell by the wayside. And I would love to tell you what the plan was.
Don't, you're gonna make me cry. No, I don't.
I did have a surprise plan, but it never came to fruition because I couldn't follow through because I like got, you know, consumed with everything that was going on over here.
Because life be lifing.
But let's just say that it was, it would have involved the baddest beach and reaching out to whoever needed to. And this would have about this episode was to be a Celebrate Blair episode. But I never got around to like reaching out to Noreen because I was like, I want to do this. Get all of her friends. We're going to do this. We're going to surprise her. And boom, boom, boom.
Oh.
And they would have just came in the room one by one.
Oh, my God. I wouldn't have been able to handle it.
And then part of me knew that, like, I know you're a big crybaby. So I am.
I wouldn't have been able to handle it.
I was like, we probably wouldn't be able to get through the episode.
I seriously love you guys so much.
You deserve it. We love you too.
Well, speaking of people who deserve things, I want to hear all about the shenanigans, the tomfoolery, the warm welcomeness that was your housewarming / Halloween party.
So, I mean, I had a good time. I was so tired, honestly. I could not really tell you, like, you know, I as I told PJ and a couple other people, I was having a hard time gauging if people were, like, having a good time.
Yeah.
Because, like, I was just drained. Like, you keep in mind, I was cleaning and just doing stuff all day long and trying to make sure that things were prepared. Then I had issues with the, you know, I catered food. So I had issues with the food coming, and it was a bunch of stuff. So by the time, like, the party got started and it was just about over, like, I was just catching up, but it was the end of the night. So, I mean, it was good. I had a good time. You were definitely missed. Mm-hmm. You know,
I was really trying to work it out too. I was like, if I leave at this time and I get on the D train and I take it, you live far, Chris.
No. Okay. Listen,
I get it. Everybody wasn't going to come. I knew, because you know what it was? Like, my family knew the list of people that were coming. So, like, one by one, my mom was just asking me, she was like, what happened to this person? What happened to that person? Your name came up when I thought Blair was coming. I was just like, yeah, I was like, well, you know, people got stuff going on. She was like, okay, I get it. And then we just kept it moving. But, you know, I had a really good time, and I'm very grateful and thankful for the circle of people that are around me.
Speaking of living far, all right, we're gonna take a little pause break in that for a second. I made a little TikTok about this, and I was like, you know, they always talk about how the Bronx is not a real place. Not a real place. Baby, as soon as I got off the train, I was being attacked. And there was just some woman just randomly screaming while some guy across the street is screaming about the goodness of Jesus. So it was just a lot going on while homeless people are asking for clothes and shirts and money at the same time, you know.
Hey, look, you know, sometimes you gotta lay it all on the table.
It was laid all out there. But I will say that it was I had an amazing time playing with my favorite spotted lanternfly. His wings looked actually amazing. I sent you the picture. I went as a Hotep nigga.
I'm sorry, you went as what?
I went as a Hotep nigga. I was dressed in my I didn't keep it on because I was like, it's hot.
I don't understand.
I had an afro, a dashiki, a loud noisemaker, African noisemaker, a drum, kente cloth, shea butter, black soap, and some other things that never
been
up.
So when you said that you were packing your bag, because we were texting back and forth, and you're like, I'm packing my bag and ready to head out now. I was like, would you pack in a bag? I see why you're packing a bag now.
Yeah, and a lot of afro. Shit. And so my plan was to walk in and be like, with my hands in this diamond shape, what's up, my brother? Welcome. I am here to celebrate your warming of your house. Even though they stole us from where they are, you have been planted your feet firmly on this ground, and your roots will forever be shown as you are a proud brother of the blackness. You know, I did it for a little while, and I just stopped because there was this child there that was just so adorable. He's so cute. He has so much energy. So much energy. And fortunately, kids and I, we have like a really special bond.
Noah loved you.
I love kids, and they love me. So like, it was good.
The first 5 minutes, Noah was just all like, you want to play? And he was like, no. And then he was playing. Yeah. So like, you know.
Aww.
Yeah. And it was good. And I will say this, there was a moment where we were like all sitting down and I was like, Regent. And like, they all, yes, because his mother,
his
grandfather, his sister. Yes. It was like they should have all popped out at the door.
And all the male regents in the room.
They didn't pop out of the room, but we was definitely looking at like, what do you want? Like,
because they, you know, they were in the room and we were out there and we like, come play with us. But I do want to say on behalf of, as long as I've known you and how much I've seen you grow, and, you know, I'm always say how proud I am of you. thank you for inviting us into your home, your warm, beautiful home.
Yeah.
It looks so nice. The food was good. Hold, please.
Okay, after these messages, we'll be right back.
Doo-doo.
Right, because I don't know what he went to go get.
I saved it. I saved this for the recording.
I hope you didn't save the food. What?
No.
Oh.
So, guys, what I'm holding up in my hand is red blood cells, AB negative. I had O and A that I brought home, and it was like, it's alcohol, but it's in a blood patch. It's in
a distribution pack.
Mm-hmm. And so, but it was great, man. It was wonderful, and really just know that no matter what happens, you have a big support system, you know, and we truly love you and proud of you.
Indeed. So exciting to like have like because I know this is like a new, you know, beginning for you, a new start. So to have like people in your space to just kind of like welcome you like as you like move into that. It's special.
Yeah. No, I like I said before, I really appreciate it. I'm gonna post stuff. I just have it because I haven't been feeling the best.
We don't have COVID or anything, right? You're okay?
No, it's we'll talk about it later. It's just, I'm just like out of it.
But I do want to say this one thing. I walked in and shout out to one of your coworkers. And I walked in and was like, oh my God, I got to say hi to her. And I'm like, that is not his mother. But the thing I love, especially about us individually, I don't know. Hold on, y'all. Don't do that. Don't do that, Blair. Blair is looking around.
It sounds like that. I mean, they are literally moving furniture around this motherfucker. Oh. Like, what the hell?
It looks like Blair's looking around. She's like, let me go search the noise. And then, bloop, 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 bloop.
Like, can you hear me? Hold on. Listen. You don't hear that? I guess you wouldn't hear that. But it sounds like they're like.
They're moving out. And they said, fuck this shit.
Well, I know my neighbor is moving out, so.
But I want to say I want to keep saying this, how all of us are so proud of you. And even like when you invite someone that you work with to your personal space, that's usually like let's all be on our best behavior because this one, you know, she deals with my job and she got to see a side of you that I'm pretty sure she never really saw before. And you can tell a lot about a person by the people that they have around them. Mm-hmm. And I also want to thank you for allowing me to be my full silly self throughout the entire night without saying, hey, PJ, calm down. Relax.
Oh, yeah, that was a mistake. No, I'm just kidding.
But it was just that we had an amazing time. And Blair, you were definitely missed. Like,
I really missed you guys. I wish I could have been there. But I'll just have to make a separate trip to the Bronx on my own.
We'll do something midway.
Doors are wide open. Well, now that we're done loving up on each other, question of the week, your questions as they pertain to you prospectively and introspectively. So I did mention that I want to try and post something eventually. I don't know when. Once I feel good, I will post stuff. Some of the October, I'll say this. October is like one of my favorite months because I really get to dress up, be a character. And when I was with you the other day, PJ, we went to Spirit of Halloween and we were looking at costumes or whatever, and I saw so many dope costumes. I was like, oh, I could have been this, well, I could have been that. And it really got me thinking, you know, understanding why I don't do more costumes and more character development in that way. I think maybe some of the barrier was, you know, because it's money, right? Like if you buy a costume, or even if you have to make a costume, you have to spend money for the materials. But I really started wondering why I didn't do that, because I really got excited and I realized that it's become a part of me. So I've done Halloween, like I was, you know, at my housewarming, I was a spotted lanternfly. which was very annoying, by the way. I put like these little antenna and legs, and it was in everybody's way, and everybody was like, "Oh, dear Lord!"
There was a moment where he was just standing in the doorway, and his antenna was sticking in his dad's face. his dad was just sitting there playing with the antenna.
I mean, that's essentially what happens, right? Them spotted layer and flies are everywhere, so
it definitely fit. But I did that, and then I dressed up for Comic-Con. I was Static Shock for Comic-Con.
Ooh,
and you know, nice. So I did a big photo shoot for that, but I still didn't post anything because, like I said before, busy, don't feel well, all that stuff. But it got me thinking, question of the week, what was the best Halloween costume that you saw this year?
Oh, that I saw.
Well, before we talk about what we saw, because I didn't really see any, because I actually didn't see any, except for your house and on my way there. Okay. But I will say, I saw Diddy's post about how they gave him a cease and desist about the Joker, which I don't even believe that really happened. Warner Brothers, or whoever owns, I think it is Warner Brothers, who owns the Batman, sent him a 6-page cease and desist to not do the Joker. That could have been just a joke that his post that he made, and his next costume, he actually was Batman.
Why?
Actual car and everything.
No, I don't understand. Like, what did he do that they wanted him to stop doing?
Go to his Instagram and look at his post before the Batman post.
P. Diddy has an Instagram?
I know, but what is it? P. Diddy?
It's Diddy.
Just Diddy. Is Diddy. Hold up. Is Diddy. Oh, I forgot this singer's calling himself Love. How many names does he have? Jesus.
I mean, as many names as it needs to take so people won't find out his T. Unique? Hey, honey.
I did the Black Joker. I got a bunch of emails from the studio telling me not be the Joker anymore, that I was breaching the trademark. And so I don't know what I'm going to be this year. But I will say to the motherfucker that took all this time, you talking about sending me this 6-fold papers. I'm not even going to show the business on the papers to tell me not to be the Joker. I'm going to tell you, you win. I'm not going to be the Joker this year. Just because your ass had enough time to fuck up my motherfucking Halloween. Now watch.
But wait. But why?
What did he do? I still don't understand.
I want to be that.
No, but that was last year.
I know. I was like, I don't understand, like, why they didn't want him to dress up like he dressed.
Because I want to do it so that I get a letter too. Because then I realized
he probably was better than he was actually. Remember, but that was actually really, really. That was like the best Joker I think I've ever seen since Jack Nicholson days.
But what does it matter? People dress up as things all the time. Why him?
Because he's Black.
Not the darkest night.
Oh, it was crazy. It was interesting.
He has too much money that he could like
rent out the
fucking Batmobile.
Now he looks like a swollen Batman. He got stung in his face by a bunch of bees.
Well, so now that's the question, is like, at what point does it become a thing where you need to like cease and desist somebody from dressing up as somebody? Like, I don't see how that was.
You would have to be like selling something or doing something that monetarily changes or possibly can take away from them. But if you're just dressing up.
Yeah,
like, I don't understand. It's not like he was like dressing up as the Joker and then running around in costume telling little kids to shoot heroin. Like,
such a landish.
Like, I'm just saying, like, he would have had to have done something that was so detrimental to the brand in order for them to have grounds to send him a cease and desist. Like, that's weird to me. Like, Warner Brothers, you being weird. But again, maybe there's a piece of this that I am not privy to.
Well, you did mention something about the brand. Maybe there's something that it has to do with P. Diddy. Mm-hmm. You know, with Diddy in particular, right? Because people will do that. Like, you know, a lot of these companies are very, very sensitive about the brands and who they are. So if you're big enough, they don't like. I heard some nonsense about Disney upset at Halle Bailey, you know, with her being pregnant. You know, I don't know how true that is, but you know.
It's just Denise Huxtable all over again.
Pregnant.
You know, it's but they're very sensitive. So I wonder if it has to do with Diddy, but I would want to know exactly what it is. That's what I'm curious about.
Yeah, because that's weird.
Right. But to go back to answering your question,
I think on
my way to your house, I did see
that's messed up. All your answers should have been mine.
I didn't really get to see it. Costume though, but yours was the best that I saw.
I ain't gonna tell you what you want to hear.
No.
Yours was pretty well. When you told me what you were gonna be, I was like, ah, that's good.
Spotted lantern fly.
I didn't see this. I read about it. Mm-hmm. I read that there was a kid. I don't know how old this kid was. I'm assuming maybe they're a little older, but it was the end of the night. And, you know, it was like late, you know, like most of the trick or treating had been like done at this point. And this woman said that, you know, her doorbell rang. So she went to go get the door and it was this kid there dressed in all red and said, I'm sorry, I'm late, but I'm your period. And she, I cried because that's fucking hilarious.
So you say that, and I saw Lil Nas X post that he was a tampon.
I'm done.
There was like a blow up vagina, and it had like some blood around it. And then he's like running away with the rope attached inside the vagina.
I'm weak.
That's gross.
See, and that's the thing, like so stuff like that, like it's very interesting to me. So like that in particular, like I'm like, ugh, that's gross. I don't like that. But the kid dressed all in red, talking about, "Hi, I'm sorry, I'm late, but I'm your period." That's funny to me, like because it has like that joke involved in it. But anyway, one of my best friends dressed up as Daphne from Scooby Doo, and she like fucking nailed it. So that was pretty good.
Nice. On my way home yesterday, I saw. And so here's the thing about people who live in New York, and we know this. The trains are nasty. Now, I understand, and I think before I preface in saying this, I used to be this young guy that would be outside half-ass naked. But here's the thing. If you are in, he was like an angel, right? And big wings. It was like, it was astonishing. I don't take pictures of random people anymore. I just don't do that because I don't need you in my phone. But he was sitting on the train and it was very empty and he was in a jockstrap and he was sitting with his booty hole his ass looked amazing, but I would never want to munch on that, which makes me now never want to eat people's booty again because it's like, where have you been sitting?
That's where you draw the line?
It took all this time
to get here.
All this time.
Now that we're here, my question is, do you sit on the train raw with your booty hole pressed against the seat? Body looked great. And he had these heels, and they looked great. But he was struggling to tie his wings, and I'm sitting there like, I want to go help him.
No, leave him be.
He was handsome.
Leave him be.
But so what I was gonna say is, going forward, you know, I can since Ben had been that guy who always felt like he had to be sexy, This is like the first time I've actually done Halloween to be funny and really enjoyed that more than trying to be sexy or show my body or even be gory. Like, I like the fun aspect of Halloween, and I made a promise to myself now going forward, especially after your party, that fun is where it's at. Let's have fun, y'all.
Yeah.
Well, what day does Halloween land on next year? Because next year I'm turning 40.
It'd be a Wednesday, right?
And I'm going to be doing it up. Let's see. It's a Thursday.
It's a Thursday? Is next year a leap year?
Yes.
Is it?
It sure is.
Yeah, it's a Thursday.
Shout out to all you born on February 29th. It'll actually be
not birthday. February.
No, I'm just saying February 29th, it'll actually be their birthday.
No, you said February.
February. Like library. Library.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna try and go to several things and dress up at several things because I really like that.
I used to dress up all the time for Halloween, but I've fallen off these last couple of years. So next year I'd like to get back on board with that as well.
You're coming to me with me to one of these events. I don't know.
I do know that if we go anywhere next year and the three of us, we have to.
Oh,
have
we're doing a group costume.
A uniform costume.
We're doing a group costume.
Absolutely. I don't know what we would be. Y'all better start
thinking. We will figure it out.
Okay.
We'll figure it out.
What about you? What's the best costume that you've seen since you proposed this question?
The best costume that I saw, I'll say this. I think the best one that I liked, because I think it was just easy, was the Fred Flintstone costume that I saw when I was with you. And I've seen, I don't know why, but I guess it's popular this year because I've seen like three of them, you know, just like in passing, you know, on Instagram. It's not the best costume overall because I don't think I've seen that many. Mm-hmm. But that's the one that sticks out with me. Rather boring, but it was so easy. And I'd rather do that. I wanted to do that so badly because I didn't have to do arts and craft. Like I could just slip on this freaking orange and black muumuu and be done with it.
Not an orange and black muumuu.
Listen, hey, shit. You know, just give me a Scooby snack.
So I didn't see this in person, but I did see a video of it on Instagram. And it was this man and woman dressed up as Aladdin and Jasmine. And they put a rug on like a, I guess it was a hoverboard kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And they were flying through the streets of New York. Like on a magic carpet, and I was like, that shit was dope.
They better have been turning each corner going, oh, new, don't you dare close your eyes. Doesn't that sound like rape?
You know, Anyway. I didn't see that many creative costumes. I will say that.
That's the thing.
They were very standard, but I will show you a picture of what I thought was funny. And then I'll close it out with this. Where can I find it? Where is it at?
This is some good blood.
Hold on. I thought this picture was so fucking funny.
Is that Miss Piggy?
Wait. No. What am I looking at?
Yeah, what are we looking at?
It's a picture of an alien, like from Aliens, but with a wig, like a big old drag queen.
I'm done.
I see. It's like an alien dressed in drag.
Like it's just so absurd.
Now that right there is the alien superstar.
That's done. Okay. Speaking of, look, Blair, I love how you did that. Okay, we're talking about alien superstars and things as I sit in here with my exclusive Renaissance sweatshirt that I got from
the Renaissance sweatshirt from who?
From the Sherry Show, shout out to I'm Just Patrick. The Renaissance for Beyonce. Yes, I can never now again going forward. I can never talk bad.
So you got it for your girl.
Yeah, I'm officially now in the hive. I literally have exclusive merch that wasn't sold anywhere.
The fact that you feel the need to continue to tell us that it's exclusive merch
I mean, I don't feel the need to tell you that it's exclusive merch, but it just happens to keep rolling the fact that it's exclusive merch.
It just comes right off the tongue.
Comes right off the tongue. Exclusive. See, it's just, you know, and I love being exclusive.
Unique?
You know. But I wanted to, like, scale back a little bit because, you know, we've been having these conversations, guys, about, like, social media and the effects of it. And how, like, times are changing, and, you know, times are changing, and we are now moving into a different part of the year. This nigga is holding up M&Ms.
I was trying to get Blair's attention.
Now I can't thought. I lost my train of thought. No, but we're moving into the latter part of the year. Shout out to Happy November, everybody. It is officially Scorpio season. Right, come on to our residential Scorpio on the.
I mean, what's understood doesn't need to be explained.
Muter box, muter. But and so we're moving into the latter part of the year, and the latter part of the year begins with, you know, we're Thanksgiving and Christmas. I want some too. And Christmas.
I was trying to keep the conversation moving, but.
She says she wants some candy right now.
I was next door at at Walgreens and looking to see like what Halloween candy they had on discount, and they did have some M&Ms, but they weren't discounted as much as I felt like they should be, so I put them back, and now I wish I had them.
Can we just say that this is the best time of the year to actually buy your candy?
Oh, absolutely.
Everybody should know that. Like, it's literally like the, like, I'm going to buy my television after Black Friday or whatever else. Like, I don't know. I'm going to do all this. I need to buy a new TV. But anyway, fast forward. So back to our exclusive conversation based on my exclusive merch. That will never leave the house, by the way.
I very much doubt that. You say that now, but
it might. I mean,
it's, can't show it off.
But, you know, it's mine. But, you know, I don't want it to get dirty or smell like outside. I really was, after seeing Miss Tina, because it was the great thing about being a part of that episode was that literally you could not have your phones on. And I don't understand how nobody everybody's like, oh my God, so who's going to be the guest? Who's going to be the guest? This and that, whatever. Like, do you not understand that everybody here is dressed in Renaissance attire? Maybe, obviously, wouldn't, you know, could it be Beyonce? But of course it wasn't. But like, what's the next best thing? Oh, maybe it might be Jay-Z or Blue Ivy, or maybe could be somebody. Would now Blue would have been that would have been a get. That would have been a get for Sherry. Shout out to the Sherry Shepherd show, y'all. But the conversation that Miss Tina was having with her just really made me go, And she was like, you know, she was talking about how big Beyonce is, and still Beyonce still knows her values, knows her to the core. And she's raised her family to be of a certain caliber, or, you know, be able to go after what they want because of based on things that she, as a parent, when she was a child, she was unable to get. And it really made me think about like the decisions that our parents have made. To instill in us these values, and question, are we still upholding those values, and are we changing those values to suit now that we're in the year of our Lord 2023, going into 2028, because we're just gonna fast forward past the next 4 years.
Oh, that was great.
That was 5 years, but you know. I do my math. I was really curious to find out, like, especially with us being from different parts of the country and us being different individuals, like, what our values were and what our values are now, and like, how do we think about that, and what do we see when we go into other spaces and understanding what their values are, and are we judging them for their values? Like, I had a whole bunch of questions lined up for you guys, but I really was curious to see what your core values are. So my first question to ask of you guys, if you're ready.
Lay it on thick.
I lay it on exclusively thick.
See, I knew you was gonna. What's happening right now? Ask your damn question.
So first, I wanted to ask you, what does What does the word value means to you personally?
I mean, just off the top of the head, like I would just say that it's something that holds significance.
Okay.
I think it's how you prioritize what's important to you. And how you treat it. So, I mean, it essentially what Blair said, it's what's significant to you, but it's how you prioritize it. And what I will add to the whole value thing, and this is a conversation that me and my mother actually have a lot, is values change, but people don't reevaluate their values enough. Because if your values are so rigid, what happens is that your values tend to break because they don't fit into that shape or mold. And that's not to say that you should change your values, but mm-hmm. once again, being able to constantly analyze and figure out how is it important to your everyday living.
But is that the values that are rigid or the way that you practice those values that can be rigid? Like, I think like that's the thing. I think like if you have your basic like moral values that, you know, that you hold to be true, there's different ways to act on or exercise how you display those values. I think the problem, I think what you're saying is the problem kind of comes into play when you're so fixated on executing your values in one specific way, regardless of how circumstances or environments or situations or you yourself have changed, because there has to be flexibility with how you act, how you perform, how you execute the things that are important to you.
Well, that's a good way of looking at it. I would agree with you, but I would add that your values also change as time goes on as well. Like, mm-hmm. for example, the reason why that I wanted to be an actor when I was young is because I wanted to be famous and popular. That's not the same reason. So my values have shifted, but that's because I analyzed what that value meant to me, and I also reevaluated my approach.
Mm. See, it's funny because, I mean, I think that's, so like even that's a question that I've asked either of you two, like when we went from four to three, right? And so like our intention behind this podcast when it was four of us, and now what's the intention when it's the three of us, they did slightly change, and we have a clearer vision of what we want. And I think that's what your values, at least for me, when I think of what's of value, it's your vision of what you see, whether it's for your life, for your family, for your friends, or for people you just don't even know. But these are like the values that I have. And I was having this conversation, and I realized that my values are changing. And it's really due to what I do professionally, at least with the aspect of, you know, driving for funeral homes. So my values are updating every day. And I was curious to see if I was the only one who was going through these like changes with that.
I guess, and this is maybe just like the stickler in me, but I think like it's important for us to really kind of like, and then maybe this is just different for all of us, but like, I think what we're doing right now is we're just kind of mixing like different definitions. Like, I think mm-hmm. that what you were talking about just now, PJ, is not necessarily values, but it's desires, like things that, you know, that you desire to do or desire to have or desire to be. I think that that's different from like what you deem to be a value. Like, to me, like a value that I have is honesty, you know, like that's a moral value that I have. And the way that I act on or execute, you know, that value in my life is, you know, to be honest with other people in the hopes that they would return that honesty to me, to be honest in how I, you know, how I act, how I behave, how I show up in the world. You know what I mean? Like, I think like
I do.
We're talking about values versus desires versus priorities versus actions. And those are all different things.
So, okay. So let's take a step back. So, Miriam and her cousin Webster,
I'm so weak.
The definition is the regard of something that is held to deserve the importance, the worth or usefulness of something. Your support is of great value. Definition number two, a person's principles or standards of behavior, one's judgment of where are my freaking my glasses with no arms? Hold y'all.
That's the most oldest man thing that you have ever done.
What? It's pulled.
It was the facial expression that went along with putting on your armless glasses.
Everybody knows what that facial expression looks like.
It's the wide nostrils with the O-shaped mouth.
So it says, you know, a principles of standards of behavior, one's judgment of the importance of what is important in life. And, you know, they give little sentences here. And it also is like verb, the estimation of value of worth and money and something like that. But so when I think of values, I think of like your core values, right? What is like how you said honesty, truth, you know, and, you know, the pursuit of happiness or whatever. You know, I'm not saying whatever to you. I'm just saying like whatever they can be for anyone. But as time goes on, those adjust a little. Those change. They can't be unless they don't. And that's fine. I know that for me, they have changed. And so now one of my main values now is to bring light in wherever I go to. Now that is, I mean, and bring light, like bring happiness, make people smile in the moment. I never used to think of that was something of such importance because by you smiling, I'm smiling even more. So it's helping my mental health as well as maybe lifting yours in any kind of form, fashion, if that's making sense.
Yeah, I mean, it is making sense. I think what's interesting is that it sounded like in the beginning when we were answering your question, that we had a hard time actually defining what values are, because there's so many things that could be core principles to one person versus what are core principles to the next person. Mm-hmm. So can we all like list maybe five values that, you know, that come to the top of our mind? Like, you know, because like for me, I mean, because I saw where you were going. You know?
We finally here.
You know, because like for me, like I think for me, if I had to list five, I think it would be family. I think it would be friends. I think it would be your career. I don't know what you
see, but when you put career in there,
priorities.
Yeah, but when you put career in it, that's not a value. That's of value.
But I think like, well, I think I think we all have different definitions or different ways that we like look at it. But like those three things that you list, when you listed family, friends, career, I would define those as priorities, like things that are important to you.
So what is a value then? What would you list?
Honesty, integrity, fairness, trust, respect. I think like that's when I think of values, I think like those kind of things.
Yeah, because I have, we may be in Scorpio season, but still as a Libra, I believe in fairness. So fairness, justice, this is an important part of my values. Like you got to be fair, you got to be just, you have to respect each other.
Do you know what's funny about that? I didn't mean to cut you off, PJ, but you know what's hilarious about that? You say stuff like that, and I'm all like, well, those things are given. Like, not that they're
given. But are they?
But right.
Not given as a person, but those are intrinsic to me.
Mm-hmm.
So for me to like list that. Like,
so that's why you're listing your values as different because, yeah.
Right. Because to me, why would I not want somebody that I can trust? Let's go back to the housewarming that we had talked about earlier. I'm not inviting nobody in my house that I don't trust.
Hello. Sidebar, I did not get pat down. Thank you for trusting me. And I didn't leave with anything. So, yay.
It looks like he left with a bag of alcohol. You didn't see
the built-in metal detector, so that was part of
it. He has his apartment set up like an Amazon Go storefront.
And I had the
camera. It already charged you when you left.
Right.
But so it's funny. Those things are built-in and fundamental for me. So I'm not going to invite anybody that, and I always tell people this, if you see me hanging out with somebody, and like they're like, I call them my best friend, or like I invite them to an event like my housewarming or anything like that, know that I trust and love that person dearly, because no one else is going to get past or into that center. So it's funny that you mentioned stuff. I'm mentioning stuff that can't, like, to me is not obvious. But to me, it's obvious that you should have somebody that's trusting. You should have somebody that's fair. You should have somebody that's going to be just.
Yeah, but okay, so just imagine there are people who grew up in a fight or flight type of situation, or in survival mode constantly. Their values are changing because their values aren't ingrained in honesty. Their values could be ingrained in deception or seeing the truth behind something that they, you know, this is something that is part of their core makeup. Like, what is it? What movie is that? In and Out with the core memories, you know, cartoon, Pixar. Where those
emotions.
Yeah, those core memories is what make them who they are, and that's their values. That's what they stick to. That's what they keep constantly going back to. Mm-hmm. And I think that, and I bring that up because I literally just had a dream the other day about me and my people who live up here, and how it's 25 of them. There's a lot of them up there.
25 specifically at the housewarming.
Wait, what?
Yeah, you said 25.
Oh yeah, 25. Yeah, thank you. I'm so glad you remember the number. but there's, you know, that, and you know, it's like rows at a theater. So like some sit at the front row, and whoever is like, you know, they're secondary, tertiary, and all going forward back. But
no fucking in the back.
No fucking in the back. Actually, you know, the values of one. Like I used to have one of my values is to really have a really great sex life. That was something that was of value, and for my values, like sex was like a one really big thing, and it isn't anymore. It hasn't been for quite some time, you know. Even as I go on these random dates with these individuals,
I swear to God, that cough started off unrelated, and then it just fit.
It just fit. But when I go on these dates, you know, and one person asked me, he asked me, and this is another reason why, you know, it's like, I'm glad the universe has been universing lately. He's like, so what do you value in a relationship? And I said, to be honest with you, right now, I can't sit here and say I value anything in a relationship, because number one, I haven't been in one in a long time. And number two, my values are more centered around legacy than they are around relationships and loving someone else. I was walking down the street, and I recommend people do this, and you know, and especially if you know that you talk to yourself, I would recommend that you put on a voice recorder and literally have a conversation with yourself. And I was talking with myself, and I was talking about, what do I value in a relationship? And then it just conversation, just, I haven't listened back to it yet, because I'm pretty sure it sounded like I was actually speaking to someone, but I was speaking to myself. And I know that throughout me talking, I was changing things as they were coming out, and I didn't know it was coming out. Obviously, it's, you know, I'm having a conversation. But so let me ask you then, where do you think that your values have come from when you say that you value honesty? Right? Where do you think that some of these traits are, how are they instilled in you?
My parents. My parents definitely instilled like my core values in me, with honesty, fairness, trust, caring, all of those things.
Do you have an example on how they actually?
I mean,
as opposed to like
really about like, it was really just about like showing me, getting me to understand, you know, the version of myself that I wanted to be in the world. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they really just kind of taught me like the things that you do, you know, really dictate like who you are and how people view you. So if you want to be viewed a certain way, you have to show up a certain way in order for people to understand that that's who you are. And these are the things that are the essence of you. So they really like just made that connection for me at a young age, and then continued to reinforce that as I was growing up.
I would say my parents as well. I think they did the majority of it, but I would also say, and I mentioned this to somebody else as well, I found I do my best when I'm in a position where I connect the dots or I can do that for people. So as we had talked about a couple of podcast episodes ago, I got a promotion, and what I'm doing right now, I'm actually happier in what I'm doing because I'm teaching people and I'm connecting the dots. And everything that I've done that with, I've always been extremely happy with, whether it be with this, whether it be with in my fraternity, whether it be with acting, you know, showing a different perspective and point of view. So I think I get that value from anybody that can just show another aspect to me and then just make it make sense. Because I think a lot of people say stuff, do stuff, show you stuff, and they just show it to you because that's all they know. But they don't really say why or show like, can like really with tangible evidence or in a really good way, show you a better way. So I also pick up value from people who are close to me, my you know, friends, my circle of people, everybody that I speak to, there's something that I get out of that relationship because there is something of value that's there.
So it's so funny because my values didn't come from my parents. And so that's what's also interesting. Like my values came from the people that I chose to be around, my friends. Or the lack thereof. My values came from whatever popped in my head or what I created, and then found out that either they were right or they were wrong or they didn't make sense or anything like that. My values came from what I saw on television, mm-hmm. you know? And so I ask these questions, and I'm asking this specific question, like as far as where do we get our values from? Because as we see, times are changing, and we are the generation, my generation and yours, let's combine them together, are the generation that's raising these kids now, right? And their values are changing because they now have social media. As we said before in the last episode, all they know is social media. So their values are what's on the internet, right? How do you think that that is going to shape them as a human if they weren't instilled with these core values that each family should have, whether it's love, commitment, responsibility, you know, self-awareness, understanding, blah, blah, blah. How are they going to be actualized, fuel human beings and be able to be grateful for what they do have and don't have or want going forward?
So I'll answer that question with just an optimistic thought. I think that we're very quick to say that the generation, we're generation what are we? We're millennials. And so what's after us? Gen Y, Z, whoever.
Yeah, X, I'm actually Y. Millennials. Then there's generational Z and then Gen Alpha.
So them niggas. I think that we as older millennials and Gen X are very quick to say that the kids of today don't have the same morals, values, ethics that we had. And that might be true. We live in a different time. We our formative years were at different times, and the world looks very different from when we were, you know, coming of age and shaping who we are. But I don't think that that necessarily means that they are missing core values or core characteristics. I think that maybe they develop them in a different way than we did, and they're still going to look different from how ours ended up solidifying. But I don't necessarily think that that's, I'm not inclined to think that that is a bad thing. I think that there is still the possibility for them to have a similar experience to us, in the sense of like, we felt like X, Y, and Z was really good for us because we were able to develop into da 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 da. I think that they still have the same opportunity to have that same outcome. It just looks different from how we did it.
Right. So I mean, God, yeah, that's what I heard as I'm speaking to as you were telling. Like, it could be the same thing, just mold it into something different because there's a different lived experience there. Right. So like you, okay. So like you coming from the upper middle class.
Why do we do this every time?
I thought it was just the upper.
It is just the upper. Thank you.
But like, class. But you know, so you have a different lived experience than myself from a low middle class. And then Chris coming from the middle class. So like we have different experiences as far as what is truly important and what can be important, and then what do we see physically on TV and how do we see ourselves represented. You know, another great thing about being at the Sherry Show yesterday was Kevin Aviance was there. Now, people don't know who Kevin Aviance is if you're not in ballroom or if you're not pretty much in gay culture. And, you know, he looks like an old man dressed in, like, makeup. But this is a living legend and for us in our community. And that gives a value of walking in your boldness, walking in your truth, walking in your light. And that's what it could mean to those young kids who are now walking around being their most authentic selves. They may be going about it the wrong way because they're like, well, bitch, you're an old bitch and I'm, you know, we still have these same problems and I don't want to respect you because yada, yada, yada. And it's just like, who the fuck is you talking to? You know, like, do you not know how to talk to people who are elders or older than you? Do you not know what respect means?
But also too, in our generation, there are people like that talking to our elders like that.
Yeah, but also at the same time, just because we have those values don't mean that they correlate across generations. Doesn't mean that it's it makes sense to them because it's not their experience and they don't care about those values because that's not important to them. That has nothing to do with what's going to help them, because has it helped us? It took us this long to get to where we are now while everybody else is walking into the work that we did, like even with the civil rights movement. You know, oh, we're not experiencing things like we were back then, back in slavery times. You know, police is a modern day slavery. Like it's like a cycle. I don't know. It's just, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, so I think that's right though. I think unfortunately what happens is, as a default from the older generation, is comparing themselves to the newer generations. I think everybody just says, oh, that's not how we did it, and there's something wrong with these kids. Mm-hmm. I think that it's always going to look different, and I think you're always going to have the generations, you know, from old to new, really say that. And I think people just don't like the fact of how it's done. But you have to like really think about like where you're at, because if our generation was so great, and this is not me bashing millennials or any generation that you're in, but if our generation was so great, then shouldn't we be further along? And we're not, because the way that we did it for whatever reason didn't work, you know, or, you know, only worked so much. But I think everybody does that. You talk to anybody, you talk to boomers, the boomers look at people, you know, for the generation after them, they're all like, yeah, they were just troublemakers and they weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. You look at millennials, we look at Gen Z like, damn, they what the fuck are they doing? So,
yeah, but like boomers, like, I'm sorry to cut you off, but like boomers, let's say that their core values has to do with security. which genuinely is. Like, they get a good paying job, stay here, retire, get a pension, get a I need a big dick, and all of that bullshit, right? I don't know where that came from.
That's the moves you're looking for, huh?
But a big dick. You got a big dick and a bang.
I mean, I think that translates across generations now.
Listen, if you listen to some of these older, hold on, New York City is here. If you listen to some of these older records, you can tell. But it's like, you know, it's always when they tell us, oh, you were raised right, you know, but that's based on the values that they had, they grew up with. And these other kids are like, who the fuck raised you? And so who's to say? And I was, another reason why I was thinking about this as a conversation piece was I often like have my headphones in, as you all know, but I'm not listening to anything, but I'm just literally all up in people's businesses. And I was sitting next to this girl on the train from all the way from the Brooklyn to the Bronx, I caught it right from Brooklyn all the way to the Bronx. She was literally taking pictures with her phone, and this was her with her phone. She just kept doing this, and just, it was the same picture over and over again. And it was like this level of, and I think that my fear is that their value is going to be this level of false sense of perfection that's not really obtainable based on whatever social media says it is. But that's like, it has to be perfect. You have to look good. You have to look good at all times and smell good and feel good and, you know, eat good or whatever the fuck at all times because social media says it this way.
Yeah. I mean, and that's very valid. That's a very valid fear. But I again just, you know, translate that to, I think every generation has something like that. Like, you know, whatever it was from when things transitioned from radio to film, you know, it was all about like who you saw and emulating who you saw, you know, on TV, on film, you know, that was like what the craze was at that time. And then
this radio.
All right. So let me ask you a question. It's going to close these out, right? Who do you admire the most and why? First person that pops in your head.
Jesus.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the fact that her face is, she's not even blinking. She's like, I said Jesus.
I said what I said.
Okay. Why?
Because he died for my sins.
Okay, but that's based on action. So why?
Okay.
I'm not gonna win this or not even this is not even
argue. Would you like a closer proximity example? I would
love a whole closer.
Well, I'm just note that was my genuine answer, but I'll give you an example that's a little more tangible.
Team Jesus, Team Soldiers for Christ.
Team Jesus. I'm not playing these games.
Go ahead.
Who do I admire and why? It's so funny. It's like you try to, you feel like you have an answer to this question, but then when it comes down to it and you have to like cite somebody as an example and then give, you know, evidence to that, it becomes a lot harder. Because the thing is with humans, and that's why I said Jesus, we're all flawed in some way.
Let me rework this question. Okay, because
you know, it's not, he is perfect. Jesus.
But this is not about perfection or flaws or anything like that. Like, based on whatever it is that you've learned from said person or said activity or said, I don't know. It doesn't have to, like, whom do you admire? Like, okay, so here's an example. How about, you want me to lead off with this?
Sure.
Okay, so who do I admire? I would say I admire my house father, which would be Lee Soldier. And the reason why is because of his resilience. I admire him for him to be able to push through, no matter what anybody says about him, no matter what anybody does to shade him. He's an underdog, and he still does what he needs to do so that other people can have what they have. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, like, he puts other people's needs before his own. I admire that about him. It's not the greatest quality, but it's just something that, because once this person is dead and gone, you realize that, oh, wow, that was something that was great. That you realize that this is what this person was doing this entire time and wasn't asking for accolades, wasn't asking for anything. And I admire that about him, and I want to be more like him in that manner. And that's the value that has never been in my existence before. But as I've walked into these 40s, this is where we are now. Not him playing with his antennas. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I will say that I admire my sister-in-law, because she does so much for her family, you know, and her family meaning my brother and my niece. She works full time, you know, is a full time wife, full time mother. Bitch, I'm a mother.
I got kids. I bore children.
I got kids. I'm a mother. Mm-hmm. But she does all of it just, I mean, like, I know there are plenty of mothers who also, you know, live this life, but, you know, she does it without complaint. She does it, you know, efficiently. She does it with a genuine desire to make her family happy, or to participate in her family's happiness, or to create her family's happiness. You know, like, I see how much she sacrifices, because my brother does work very odd hours, and so a lot of times a lot of responsibility falls on her, and she just takes it without any, mm-hmm. you know, complaint, and does what needs to be done. So
gotcha. So for me, as everybody puts on antennas, some for the beehive. I think that you guys could probably guess who I probably
admire. Peppa Pig.
Come on.
Peppa Pig.
How'd you guess, PJ? I'm gonna add a person to the mix just because of a value that I really enjoy, but I really value and admire my parents for who they are in terms of just being free spirited and, you know, just wanting the best for not just for themselves but for people around them. There's something about that freeness that's there that is very attractive to me, and when I see it from people, it's like I admire it a lot. So I was just sitting down the other day, and I couldn't believe that I forgot how much I love Whose Line Is It Anyway.
I love that show. I started watching that on HBO, Hulu, whatever it is.
And I haven't even watched all the episodes, but I had started sitting down because I had a couple of minutes, and I started watching it, and I really enjoy Wayne Brady's freeness to just be able to flow. He's somebody that I admire. When we talk about like celebrities, like people who you like look up to, and he's one of them, because he's out there just living his best life.
His
and he's
best always life.
Just so positive. And yeah, I love that freeness. I love just being able to just have everything just roll right off the tongue. Those three people are the three people that come to my mind.
I want to say this, and I wanted to add this in there, because this is another reason why I wanted to have this conversation. This is a basic conversation that Eric and I was having, mm-hmm. As we were sitting on your couch. watching you, and all I kept saying was, man, I just love these Regents. And from an outside perspective, because, you know, everybody loves somebody else's family until they live it, right? Okay. Oh my God, your mother is amazing.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah,
okay. But, you know, I watched you, Alex, your mother, your father, and even your grandfather. Like, I've watched them all. And, like, the way that you guys interact with each other, the way that you show love in a way that isn't judgmental. You guys are silly. You know, you're all allowed to be yourselves to a certain extent, from what I can see. And the certain extent only extends because of what I can't see. But I see so much value in allowing each other. Like, all I kept saying was, man, I love his parents. And it's just like, I don't know anything about what it was like when they were kids growing up, because it could be very different now that they're adults. But the fact that his parents, it seems like they're genuinely supportive. And y'all are silly with each other, cussing at each other, cursing with each other. Let's say that.
Yeah, because them motherfuckers, they, you know what they was doing?
And it was that. It was like, that was it. That was it.
That motherfucker.
He was sitting there, because he was saying to us, this while he said, let's see a motherfucker. Yeah, I was just like, I love that.
Because, you know, all right, so wait, no, we have to give some context here, okay? We have this thing that we do where we will mess each other's stuff up on purpose, but like nothing like crazy, but just like put things out of order, because that's just like what we do. So I don't know if you noticed, PJ, but like the bookcase, when you're walking down the hallway, mm-hmm. there was books, they're old books that was left by my uncle. And they were all neatly stacked up or whatever. Why did between Alex and my dad started like shuffling the books around, turning them upside down? And I saw
Alex doing that.
Because, all right, so you know I'm fucking crazy when it comes to the organization. So all it took was one time for me to come down the hallway and for me to notice it. So I said, Dad, I wanted to show you something. I was like, come here for a second. And when I got into the hallway, I was like, why would you fucking do this? I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Both you and Alex. I was like, I know it's not mom. And then so we were like laughing about that. But that was like, that's like an inside joke, because it's kind of like a way that we are showing, you know, endearment, affection, whatever. Like, it's not that serious, but it's funny enough that, because you know that it'll bother me or whoever.
Because it makes it seem like one of the core values from an outside perspective is that of your parents is individuality. Mm-hmm. And they allow you guys to be yourselves without trying to make you into this mold, because they made you out of their, you know, stuff.
Things.
Stuff. Their Things. Essence.
Their essence. I was looking for the word. Their essence.
Essence.
You know, but they are like, individuality is really important, it seems. And I adore that. I wish that I had that. That's one of the reasons why I can't value the way that my, you know, parents raised me. My grandmother, maybe, but she raised me to treat others not the way I wanted to be treated, but treat them the way that you know I would treat you. So I love that. And, you know, and I haven't been around Blair's family, but from what I But look, we all got him, you know.
Ooh, child.
But, you know, from what I can say and from what you express, your value to me, and this is the last question I want us, because I'm answering it, right? What do you think are each other's values based on? And so I think that your value, Blair, besides Jesus, okay, it is understanding. Like, you take some time to really, before you respond, to like understand where the person is coming from.
You do.
And right before you say, okay, wrong. you know what? From, it's like you're like how one of my cousins, her response usually is, so from what I'm hearing you say is. So it's like very much, I'm telling you what I heard you say versus here's what it is. and you have a great level of understanding, I think, in your value. I think that if you value it, or you don't notice it, but we notice it.
Aw, well, thank you. I try. I just want to heal the world with understanding.
Make it a better place.
For you and for me and the entire Blair universe, there are
people. Not the Blair universe.
Okay. Oh, wait. Because I passed by this highway and I this spot in Pennsylvania, and I was going to make a whole U-turn, but it was Regentville. And I was trying to get the
picture. Come on, Regentville.
Because you had Blairstown, then it was Regentville.
That's where you need to have the next Regent family reunion.
Yeah, that's Regentville, Regent Pennsylvania. Look it up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You don't have to go. That wasn't question form. So we're just going to close it out.
Oh. So what?
Okay. Never mind. No, that's not, because it's going to make it a little bit longer.
Oh, you wanted us to say what our perceptions of other of the values of other people. Oh. Mm-hmm.
Close out with Chris's. Like, do me first, and then close to Chris.
What?
So no, I'll do you, and I'll wait. You did me. I should do. You did me. I should do Chris, and then Chris would do you.
Okay. No, I did both of y'all. I'm doing both.
Oh my.
What'd you say for Chris?
No, I was talking about his parent. I didn't do Chris. So yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
See understanding?
But it was like, I know what I heard.
Chris, if I had to guesstimate what one of your core values is. I mean, I really think that I guess it's similar to mine in a way, but I really think that one of your core values is empathy. Like, you really want to make sure that other people feel heard and understood, and you have this intrinsic way of just being able to relate to people regardless of whether or not you have any personal experience with what it is that they're going through, but you have enough of a understanding of basic human existence to be able to be like, hey, I feel X, Y, and Z is happening with you. And then being able to provide them with a safe space to work through whatever that is, whether it's good, bad, indifferent, in between, whatever. But I think that because you so deeply feel some type of vibe or essence or emotion from other people, like you just like pick up on that, like intrinsically, that just then.
Sorry, you were talking and he's doing this. Do it again. No, I was trying to laugh.
I wasn't even looking because I'm like,
no, all right.
That, I'm looking at my thoughts as they come into my head, so I missed that completely. But yeah, I think that a lot of your values and how you show up in the world is related to your empathy.
I accept that. I think that's right. Honestly.
Wait, one second. One second.
Mm-hmm. Boy, I know you can't help but to be yourself around me. Yourself around me.
You are like the world's biggest Beyonce stan now.
You are right. Oh, my God. You are beehive down.
Oh wait, is this looks like
it's so funny what a little free merch will do. You were just a whore for some free merch, huh?
Throwing some food, he's done.
Okay, golly.
Go ahead, Chris.
What was I gonna say? I think that's right. Even when there's been times that I've spoken to my my therapist, I think one of the things that I tell him all the time is that I tell him I want people to better themselves, and I want to feel like I want them to feel good. So because I'm so sensitive to that stuff. So I think that's right. PJ, I think that for you, I think one of your values is, and I think why you picked up on stuff with my parents, I think one of your values is individuality. I think you really, really, for so long, have felt like you were suppressed in some shape or form, and felt like you couldn't express yourself in the way that you wanted to. And now that you realize that you can, I think that you really do your best to get and utilize every moment and chance that you get to do that. I mean, when we were all together on the Sherry Shepherd show, I mean, you were just being silly and having a good time and really loving the moment. And, you know, I was keeping up, but there was something about you that in particular that you just were just so happy to just be yourself, and like no one like really cared. You were living your best life. And I think that's important to you, to show people, not just to yourself, but to show other people that who fucking cares? You know, as long as you're not harming, you know, being malicious to anybody, I think you're 100% ready to just glow. And I'm glad that you are seeing that, because I think that helps you understand how much fun everything can be. And you make everything fun for a lot of other people as well.
You know what? I want to accept that, because, you know, Marco, sure enough, was like picking on me the entire time, by the way, this time. He's like, all right, PJ, come on. You want to dance? I know you do. And I'm like, these people don't know me. You just met me last 2 weeks ago, you know. And I accept that. I like that, because you're absolutely right. Like, it's important. I want people to be themselves. And just enjoy it. So on that note, guys, I wanted to take the time for everybody to just ask yourself these questions. What are your values? What do you value most? Where did your values come from? And have your values changed since you either were younger or have, you know, grown? That's the same thing. But no, like, really ask yourself, because I think especially as we all go through these different ages, steps in our lives, because as you're doing steps, I'm like, steps? What in the world? As we go through these different phases in our lives, our values do change. And so I... Huh?
Is that one of your boyfriends?
Put the shit on mute.
Boys.
I do not have boyfriends.
Boys, I do adore. Put your number on this paper, because I would love to date you. Holler at you when I get off tour. Yep.
When I get off this recording, I'll holler at you. But that is important too. Like, you know, I don't value relationships as I used to, like intimate relationships, meaning sexual. I value intimate relationships, meaning I see you, do you see me? So that's what I think we should all start asking ourselves, what has changed from then to what do you see yourselves now? And this is a good way to just like understand yourself as you get older. While Chris is up here with his antenna on his head from his spotter and lantern fly thing, and I spill some of this juice and it's on my pants, but it better not get on this.
You know, exclusive merch.
Exclusive merch. So... on that note, guys, thank you for taking the time to listen to another episode of Highly Motherfucking Melanated, the safe space where it is okay to be inclusive and exclusive.
Wow.
With merch.
Wow.
Wow.
No, now, it's the safe space where it is okay to reanalyze what your values are. And if they're still the same, just hold true to them. As always, you can follow us on Instagram, TikTok, at Highly Melanated Podcast.
I would like to request that everybody who is astonished by PJ's sudden change in his interest in welcoming Beyonce into our daily conversations, if you're shocked as the rest of us, how he's willing to just whore himself out for some free merch, go ahead and send an email to highlymelanatedpodcast@gmail.com.
Or you can come on over to Twitter, formerly known as Twitter, now X. You know, there'll be a spotted lanternfly gathering. We'll play some Renaissance music at H_melanatedpods.
Come on, releasing your wiggle. On that note, guys, peace, love, and...
I'm that girl.
You look!
Well, right now it's the Scorpio's groove.
Oh, well, thanks.
But America, you still have a problem.
Oh,